الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار حفصة رضي الله تعالى عنها The daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab, she states that she heard her father make a very, what she found to be interesting dua. Her father made a supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he said, Allahumma rzuqni qatlan fi sabilik wa wafatan fi baladi nabiyik. He says, O Allah, I ask you to die in your path. But also to die in the city of your Prophet in Medina. Now she says when she heard her father say that, وَأَنَّا ذَلِكَ How is that possible? When the battles, the futuhat, the jihad fi sabilillah was occurring in Bilad al-Sham, in Iraq, in northern Africa, how are you expecting to die a shaheed in Medina? And he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِأَمْرِهِ أَنَّا شَاءَ Allah can do as He wills. This is my wish. To die a shaheed fi sabilillah. To die a martyr in the path of Allah. And to die in the city of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Allah answered the dua of Umar al-Khattab. At the time of Salat al-Fajr, one morning, he came to lead the believers in prayer. And now it is said about Salat al-Fajr in Jama'ah, in the masjid. That Masjid Nabawi was so full that it was not uncommon for people to come stand next to the Imam because there was no space in the back. This is what the Prophet ﷺ left behind, an ummah, a community who fills the Masjid for Salat al-Fajr. Now the Imam we typically hear, he says, Istawu, straighten the lines. Now Umar al-Khattab, when he would say that, he would actually walk between the lines and with his own hands, straighten the line man by man. So imagine the scene, you have it's like an army behind the Imam. Shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot, no one is off a straight line. And it was said that Umar al-Khattab, he would recite long surahs. Surah Yusuf, Surah Naml. He would recite long surahs, and this was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in Salat al-Fajr. He would recite long surahs, and also it gives time for people to come. They have to make wudu, wake up, things like this. It gives them time. So Umar al-Khattab, after doing this, he begins the prayer, Allahu Akbar. Now behind a pillar in the front of the masjid, hid a slave by the name of Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi. Abu Lu'lu', the fire worshipper. When Umar radiallahu anhu began the prayer, he jumped out from behind this pillar with this dagger that had two heads, and some narrations say he soaked in poison for 1 month. Hoping that if the stabbing doesn't kill the individual, the poison will. And he stabs Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar al-Khattab 3 times or 2 times, different narrations, in the chest, in the shoulder, and beneath his navel. Now the one beneath his navel, he slit open to the point that the narration says the contents of the abdomen of Umar were hanging out. Now, when this happens, what imagine the scene. The imam is praying Salat al-Fajr. You have jama'ah behind him. What happens? Now the people on the back, they don't know what's going on. So they say, Subhanallah. The imam stopped reciting. So they're correcting the imam, recite. Now Umar al-Khattab, what does he do? Stabbed 3 times to the point that, again, the lower abdominal injury was so bad that his contents were sticking out. He grabbed Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, one of the sahaba, senior sahaba behind him, and gets him to lead the prayer, and then he passes out unconscious. Now Abdurrahman finishes the prayer. Now look at this, Abdurrahman finishes the prayer. They don't stop the prayer. As-salah. He finishes the prayer, but he recites a short prayer. Now Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, now he's facing literally an army, and so what does he do? He dives into the ranks of the believers and starts stabbing left and right. He stabbed 13 sahaba, 7 of whom died on the spot. Until one sahabi, he threw his cloak over Abu Lu'lu' and he was covered in this cloak in confusion and darkness. We don't have lights like they don't have lights like we do now, just a few lanterns. So he realized he's going to be captured, so he committed suicide. He killed himself. Now Abdurrahman ibn Auf finishes the prayer, and Abdullah, the son of Umar, narrates what happens next. He says, أَقْبَلْنَا عَلَىٰ أَبِي لِنَحْمِلَهُ. We came to my father to carry him home. فَإِذَا جِرَاحُهُ تَنْزِفُ بِالدَّمِ. His injuries were flowing with blood. Now we know that those in the medical field, specifically abdominal injuries, are one of the most catastrophic. Because blood can flow or pool in the body quickly, and you will die from internal bleeding. He has open wounds, open abdominal injuries in which blood is flowing. So he says, فَأَقْبَلْتُ أَضَعُ أَصَابِعِي عَلَى جُرْحِ أَبِي وَأَمْسِكَ الدَّمِ. He says, I put my hand, my fingers, over the injury to stop the blood from flowing. فَكَانَتْ يَدِي تَدْخُلُ فِي بَطْنِي. He says, my hand entered into his stomach. So we carried him home, and he says, I took out my turban and we tied it around his injury to stop the bleeding. We carried him home, and my father was completely knocked out. Didn't know what was going on. Now they take him home, and they're trying to wake him up. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, oh Umar, Ya Umar, Ya Amir. He's not responding to anything. Some narrations say he only woke up when they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, as-salah, as-salah. The prayer, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen. Then, out of unconsciousness, he wakes up into consciousness. And the narration says, فَلْتَفَتَ يَمِينًا وَلْتَفَتَ يَسَارًا. He looked to the right and he looked to the left. And now imagine the scene. You have people crying, women crying behind the curtains. The sahaba around Umar, they're concerned and they're worried about him. And his body is pulsating with pain. And you know what his first words are when he wakes up? Radiallahu anhu, you know what he says? He says, أَصَلَّ النَّاسِ. Did the people complete the prayer? Did the people complete the prayer? And they say, yes, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Then he looks to the crowd and he sees his son. He says, Ya Abdullah, bring me water. So he says, do you want to drink? He says, no. إِنَّمَا أُرِيدُ الْوُضُوءِ. I need to make wudu. I didn't complete my Salat al-Fajr. قُطْلِعَتْ عَلَيَّ الصَّلَاةِ. I was cut off from Salah. So he says, he brings him the water. And this state, you know, they brought a doctor to him and they had him drink milk. And the milk poured out from the wound he had. That's how bad of an injury he had, Umar al-Khattab. And they say, when that happened, we knew he was going to die. At that state, he wants to make wudu. Not just tayammum, he wants to make wudu. To pray. And then he says, oh Abdullah, aq'idni, sit me up. He was lying down, he says, sit me up. And his son tells him, oh my father, ya abata, you're in this state, you want me to sit you up? Really? And he says, aq'idni la umma lak, sit me up, may you have no mother. Meaning like, come on man, sit me up. This is not a time to mess around. And his son tries to sit him up so he can, he says, I don't want to pray. I don't accept praying lying down. In this state. And so when they sat him up, his injury opened. And the contents of his abdomen, his intestines, popped out a second time. And he let out this cry of pain, so they laid him back down and they covered the injury, and then he prayed Salatul Fajr in this state. Now after this, he asked the question that we would all think he would ask right away. Man qatalani? Who killed me? And they say, the slave of Al-Mughira. And he says, Abu Lu'lu', the Majusi, the fire worshipper. And they say, yes. And you know what Amr al-Khattab, he says? Now brothers and sisters, if you don't understand the position of prayer from what we have mentioned so far, then you'll understand it from this. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he says, Alhamdulillah. When he was told it was a fire worshipper who killed you, he says, Alhamdulillah alladhi lam yaj'al mawti ala yadi rajul. لَمْ يَسْجُدْ بِسَجْدَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ لِلَّهِ يُحَاجَّنِي بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Ya Allah. He says, thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has not made my death at the hands of a man who has not even made one sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By which, by virtue of just making one sajda, one prostration to Allah, he can argue against me in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Just one sajda. This was the status of salah in the lives of our ancestors, our heroes, our fathers. Now where did Umar learn this from? You know, the Prophet ﷺ, before he died, he was knocked out completely unconscious. And the time for Salatul Isha was there and the companions filled the masjid. And when the Prophet awoke, you know what his first words were? The same words Umar said. أَصَلَّ النَّاسِ. Have the people prayed Isha? لَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هُمْ يَنْتَظِرُونَكَ. No, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They're waiting for you. So he says, bring me water so I can make ghusl. They brought him water, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tried and he passed out. That's how sick he was. He was so sick, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he would come out, when he was there, he would came out, his arms would be around Fadl ibn Abbas and Usama ibn Zayd, Ali ibn Talib, different sahaba would carry him out. And he says, وَقَدَمَاهُ تَخُطَّانِ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. He was so sick, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his feet were dragging behind him on the ground. In this state, he kept asking four times he awoke. All four times they brought him water and he tried to make ghusl to pray. He kept saying when he woke up his first words, أَصَلَّ النَّاسِ. Have the people prayed? Brothers and sisters, this is the importance of prayer in our lives. Now the question is do we guard our prayers? Five times a day is all we are asked of. Or do we delay our prayer? When we are at work, are we afraid that our boss will say, what are you doing? Are we afraid to make wudu? Umar, he was about to die and he made wudu. Are we afraid to make wudu publicly and people will catch us with our foot in the sink saying, what are you doing, you foolish person? Do we worry about what people will say? My work is more important. My studies are more important. I have patients to attend to. I have bills I have to take care of. I have things that are required of my time. I have to make it to class. I can't miss salah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Maryam, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. There came after them an ummah who left off the prayers and they followed their desires, so they will meet Al-Ghay. Al-Ghay, brothers and sisters, is a valley in hellfire of which hellfire itself seeks refuge from this part of it. Now Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he says, these people, they didn't leave their prayer. They actually pray the five prayers. These people who will meet a valley in hellfire so severe, they actually pray five times a day. But what did they do? When the time for dhuhr would come, they wouldn't delay dhuhr till after dhuhr. They would delay dhuhr till the buzzer. 1 minute before asr comes in, I'm going to pray dhuhr, and then pray asr right away and get the combo deal, 2-for-1. Discount. These people, will meet al-ghay in hellfire. What about those who don't pray at all? What about those who don't pray at all? See, we underestimate the importance of salah in our lives. It's become a task, something we have to do. Some of us don't even pray on time. Now, for those who don't pray at all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says about the people of Jannah. They'll be sitting in Jannah and they're going to be asking about the people of hellfire. He says, إِلَّا أَصْحَابَ الْيَمِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. Allah says about the people, the companions of the right hand, the people of Jannah, they'll be asking about the criminals and they will say to them, what caused you to enter into hellfire? The affair has been settled, the people of Jannah are in Jannah, the people of hellfire in hellfire, what caused you to enter hellfire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We didn't used to be amongst those who would pray. The first reason they give. We didn't used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, brothers and sisters, you know the first thing that when we are born into this world, what is the first thing we hear in our ears? Those of you who are born into Islam with Muslim parents. The first thing we hear is the adhan, the call to prayer. Now you don't pray, you're not a one day old who stands up after you hear that adhan, Allahu Akbar, you don't pray. But you hear the call to prayer. Now fast forward 60 to 70 years later when you die. The average age of this ummah is 60 to 70, although death can come at any time. When you die, is there adhan called for your prayer? No. But is there a prayer that is made? Yes. So our life is between adhan and salah. That is our life. And for the one who misses out on this life, the life of a believer, they have not lived. They have not lived. Our life is between adhan and salah. You know, there was a man who was paralyzed from neck down. He was healthy. He had an accident. His name is Abdullah. He had an accident and this accident paralyzed him from neck down. Brothers and sisters, imagine if you left the masjid, la samahallah, you get in a car accident, you're hospitalized, and you are paralyzed from neck down. Somebody who in his 30s, so he's lived the peak of life, he's lived through strength and health, he's experienced the sweetness of this dunya, and now he is paralyzed from neck down. They asked him, oh Abdullah, if you had three wishes, what would they be? Three wishes you can make. Imagine you're posed this question being paralyzed. I think the first wish we would all make is, oh Allah, give me health again. You know what his first wish, what the wish was? He says, I wish to make a sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish I had the physical ability to put my forehead down on the earth and humbly submit myself to Allah and make sajda to Allah. And he says, I wish I would never rise from that sajda again. And then he says, you know, when I was healthy, I didn't used to pray. I didn't used to pray. But he says, when people come visit me now, paralyzed, my family, my friends, people I don't know, they come and visit me, they feel sorry for me. They feel mercy. They feel sadness. Subhanallah, we saw you just the other day walking with us. Now you can't even use the bathroom by yourself. They feel sorry for him. You know what he says? But what I find so strange is that when I didn't used to pray, he didn't used to pray. When I didn't used to pray, no one felt sorry for me. Yani, we give importance to the issues of this world. But the one who doesn't pray is destroyed in Akhirah. So promise, it's guaranteed. The Prophet says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first thing you will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is As-Salah. If it's good, then whatever comes after will be good. But if you have left off your prayer, if you have destroyed your prayer, if you didn't pray on its time, then whatever comes after is worse. He says, no one felt sorry for me when I didn't used to pray, but now you feel sorry for me. He says, I fear the verse of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ.
On the day when the shin will be uncovered and the believers and the hypocrites will be there, they will be called to make one sajda to Allah. But those who didn't used to pray, or those who used to pray but did it to show off, Allah says, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. They won't be able to make sajda. And at that moment, the scholars say, the Sahaba said, it will be like an iron rod is placed in their back. Straight, when they try to go down, they will fall backwards in humility and in disgrace. And Allah says, at that point, their eyes will be humbled and they'll be overwhelmed with regret and remorse. And Allah says, وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ. They were called to make sajda in this world while they were healthy. While you were healthy, brothers and sisters, that mu'adhin, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, the mu'adhin calls you 5 times a day to prayer. You're healthy. Did you answer the call? Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Come to prayer. Come to success. Indeed, brothers and sisters, the success of every believer, every human being, lies after Islam in salah. And there is no iman. There is no iman. There is no faith. There is no ounce of belief in the one who left off salah. The Prophet said in Sahih Muslim that the difference between a believer and kufr and shirk is the abandonment of prayer. You know, in Syria, what's happening right now? What's happening right now in Syria? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give our brothers and sisters in Bilad al-Sham and Syria and Philistine and all around the area victory and all across the world. Allahumma ameen. We ask Allah to strengthen them and to affirm them and to grant them victory over their oppressors. Allahumma ameen. There was a man who was arrested by the soldiers of Bashar. And you've seen the videos and you've seen the reports. They're beaten and tortured, being told to make sajda to a picture of Bashar. And they are told to say, say la ilaha illa Bashar. Say there is no God but Bashar. Now this man is being beaten. And you've seen the videos. You know what they go through. And if you haven't, watch them. Watch them. To know the thabat that's required of the believers in this day and age. Watch them so you understand what it takes to be a believer in this time when believers are few and far in between. When believers who stick to the deen of Allah, in front of these tests from governments and from fear and torture, they never give in. We ask Allah to give us all the thabat and the strength to face Him, to face these tests, and to die with La ilaha illa Allah on our tongues. This man, he's being beaten and told to say La ilaha illa Bashar. You know what he says? He refused. And he refused to even make prostration while he's being beaten. When they took him to the prison, they asked him, why? It's allowed. In face of torture, you can listen to them. He says, I have never once in my life made a sajda before. I've never prayed before. And I didn't want my first sajda to be to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go through a test like this, you realize salah, the value of salah in your life. The value of salah in your life. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, as we mentioned, the first thing the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ صَلَاتُهُ. The first thing every one of us will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is our salah. فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَحَ. If he took care of his salah, then he has indeed attained success. And he says, وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ. And if he didn't take care of his salah, then he is destroyed. He has lost everything. Now, we ask Allah to make us all amongst those who pray 5 times a day. But let's look at what the Prophet ﷺ said. This is a narration, an authentic narration, in which the Prophet ﷺ in Bukhari, Muslim, and other books of hadith, in which Prophet ﷺ was sitting in the masjid, and a man came into salah, into the masjid, and he prayed two rak'ahs, and as he was leaving, he said salam to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet told him, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. The Prophet watched him pray, but when he left, he said, go back and pray, for you haven't prayed. The man prayed a second time. He prayed! He literally went through all the motions of salah, and the Prophet a second time tells him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray, for you haven't prayed. This happened three times until the man told the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, walladhi ba'athaka bilhaq, ma uhsinu ghayra hadha fa'allimni. I swear by the one who has sent you with the truth, I don't know anything other than what you have seen me do. So teach me, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him how to pray properly. When you go into ruku', when you go into sujood, when you go into sitting, every position of prayer, you have to stop. Don't rush through prayer. Now the question is, brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَا يُصَلِّ الصَّلَاةِ وَمَا يُكْتَبُ لَهُ مِنْهَا إِلَّا عُشْرَهَا. A man can pray prayer, and he'll only be given a tenth of its reward, or a ninth, or an eighth, or a seventh, or a sixth, or a fifth, or a quarter, or a third, or a half. Why? Because Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, بِإِجْمَعَ السَّلَفِ, as a consensus of all the scholars, you will only be rewarded from your salah what مَا عَقَلَ مِنْهَا وَحَضَرَهُ الْقَلْبِ. You will only be rewarded from salah that which you understand and that which your heart is focused and attentive in. So now the question is, brothers and sisters, how many of us by this definition pray just five times a day? Scary. It's a scary proposition. Because it's the first question we'll be asked about. So brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, tonight the masjid is holding a conference this weekend. Tonight we begin with, at 8:15, recitation from the Holy Quran. And then after Salat al-Maghrib, Shaykh Yasir Birjazi, Imam of the Valley Ranch Masjid, will be sharing now the theme of the conference is actually welcoming Ramadan. Now my topic today was about salah. But the reason why is, as a hadith says, if you don't take care of salah, everything else after is going to be lost. And in Ramadan we increase in our salah. So we have to learn how to pray and how to feel and taste salah. But tonight, inshallah ta'ala, 8:15, we start with the recitation of the Qur'an, Salatul Maghrib. And then after that, we will have our first session with Sheikh Yasir Rajaz about fasting in Ramadan, specifically in the time of the summer and dealing with the heat. Then tomorrow from 10 a.m., inshallah ta'ala, I will be presenting a seminar about salah. We talked about the importance of prayer, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow from 10 until 7 p.m. I know the flyer says 5, but we're actually going to extend it because we have a lot to cover. Until 7 p.m. For those of you who can stay, you're welcome. If you can't, then inshallah ta'ala, you can go home and come back for the evening. From 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., we're going to go through a seminar, Sweetness of Salah. Developing khushu' and concentration in your prayer. And we're going to go through every stage of salah and how we can taste the sweetness. Inshallah, that will make our salah different. And I've taught this program a few places before. And alhamdulillah, the people have said it's changed their complete outlook on salah. And we ask Allah to bless us, to give us life so we can attend this program tomorrow so we can benefit from salah. After at 7 p.m., there's a break. And then inshallah ta'ala, after Salat al-Maghrib, Ustaz Nu'man Ali Khan will be here, my teacher. Just like Sheikh Yasir is my teacher, hafidhahum Allah. He will be giving a talk about Ramadan and the Qur'an. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. This is the month of the Qur'an. So he'll be sharing with us from Maghrib to Aisha. We have inshallah ta'ala a packed program. Then after Sunday, after Salat al-Fajr, inshallah I'll be giving a short reminder and then we'll have a community breakfast for everyone. Everyone is welcome to come join us throughout this program. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَلَائِكَةً يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم انصر إخواننا في سوريا. اللهم انصر إخواننا في بلاد الشام. اللهم انصرهم في كل مكان في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم إنهم ضعفاء فقوهم خوفا فأمنهم جياعا فأطعمهم، عريا فاكسهم، حفاة فاحملهم، مظلومون فانصرهم، محتاجون إليك يا قوي يا عزيز. اللهم أيدهم بنصرك، اللهم أيدهم بنصرك، اللهم ثبت أقدامهم وثبت قلوبهم، اللهم سدد رميهم، اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق يا رب العالمين. اللهم عليك بالطغاة الظالمين، اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك، اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.